Galatians chapter 3, and tonight on our series of Stand Fast in the book of Galatians, we're going to deal with this subject, the promise. The promise. Now, look if you would at verse 16, where we left off last week in Galatians chapter 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. To those of you who are here Wednesday night, we preached on heaven Wednesday night. I literally dreaded it Wednesday night because I thought this is just going to be a lot of facts coming at people, and it's going to be boring. I've had more reaction from Wednesday night about heaven. I've had more people ask, even as of this afternoon, and we're going to try to kind of put the whole thing that we gave you Wednesday night on a sheet that you can keep it in your Bible, answering questions about heaven. But I had to explain, on one of the points about heaven, I had to explain the seven dispensations. What is that? Dispensational truth. That means since the beginning of man, since God created Adam, we have lived in different dispensations of time. And it's been laid out. It's just an easier way to understand our Bible. And I had to explain that so that I could answer a question about heaven. And during that, we talked about Christ being a mediator in that dispensation. That's who we're talking about here. The Bible tells us that Christ was the mediator between the First Testament, which is the Old Testament, and when Jesus came in the New Testament. Jesus is that mediator. He's the one that bridged the gap. He's the one that gave us access to the Father. Just remember that. Look at verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Notice this, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And all God's people right there ought to say, hallelujah. Now, I know it might not make a lot of sense to you. It will in just a few minutes. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel, folks. It is by faith in Christ Jesus. Now notice this, verse 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen, started off in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. It ends in the end of the chapter. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We just can't go any further until I talk to you about the promises that were made to Abraham. And how is that applied to us? Father, I pray you'd bless us tonight. Help our folks somehow to pay attention tonight and to grasp this. It might be considered a little bit deep in your word, but Lord, that's where we should all live, is deep in your word. And Lord, our souls ought to hunger to learn your word. So Lord, help our people to be interested. And Lord, to open up their hearts and minds to the word tonight. In your name we pray, amen. I've got to talk to you about the promises made to Abraham. What were the promises that were made? And why is it so important for us to understand that? Well, let me say this. Having an understanding of God's promises to Abraham, it changes our attitude at the Old Testament. A lot of people think the Old Testament's just hard to understand and strange and all these rituals and all these things, and the New Testament's a little bit more up to date, and I understand there because Jesus came, he died on the cross. It helps us understand that. It helps us understand our belief about life and death. It changes our understanding about the place and timing of reward for faithful people. It changes our appreciation of the future role of Jesus Christ. It even changes our understanding of God's plan for this earth. Everything is changed by understanding the promises that God made to Abraham. You say, all right, what were they? Well, they were made in the book of Genesis. And you don't have to turn to all these. I don't have these on the screen. I'll be happy to read them to you. But if you're in the mood tonight, I'll give you time. When I give the reference, you ought to start. It starts in Genesis chapter 12. And I'm not going to read all of them for sake of time, but I want you to, and I'm going to make it very clear for you how you can understand what was it that God promised Abraham. Why is it important to me? Started in Genesis chapter 12 and begins in verse 1 through 3 and then in verse 7. And God promised Abraham here a blessing for what we call all the families of the earth, he says in Genesis chapter 12. So what he's saying to Abraham is, he said, through your seed, I will bless all the families of the earth. Now, what is that? That means, all right, if I'm alive, God is promised to bless me. No. What's he talking about? He is sending a blessing to all the families of the earth. Guess who that blessing was? Christ. Promise kept. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, I want to read this to you. This is what it says. And the Lord said unto Abram. Now he changed his name from Abraham to Abram when he gave the blessing for the nations that would to come. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed shall also be numbered. Listen to me. He promises Abraham the land that he was looking at. And to this day, the Jews occupy Israel. Amen. Promise kept again. He also said this, that out of your seed, I'm going to make a great nation. And he says this, that it's going to be so great that it's going to be like the sand of the sea. And if you could number that, then you can number your nation. But if you can't number the sand of the sea, by the way, which we can't, then what he's saying is this, he promised Abraham a seed and a nation that was immeasurable. Notice if you went to Genesis chapter 15, verse 3. Bible says this, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. See, God promised Abraham, hey, I'm gonna make of you a great nation. Here's the problem. Abraham didn't have a seed. So how's this nation going to be given if you don't even give me a child? If I don't have a seed that my nation can go through, I don't have any heirs, he's saying. How can you make a great nation out of me? Verse 3 says this, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. How many of you remember the story about Abraham and Sarah? How she got pregnant later on in life, and they thought, there's no way this is going to happen. Listen to me, Abraham believed God before it even happened. Right. And because he believed God, God counted that to him for righteousness. He promised him a seed. The next promise is in chapter 15, verse 12. And just for sake of time, he mentions in there a deep sleep, horror, and great darkness. What is he talking about? He tells Abraham that you will have to die before the promise is given. He's saying, Abraham, before you actually get to see this promise kept, you're going to die first. But I'm telling you, I will keep my promise. Okay? In chapter 15, verse 18, we find this, that God made covenant with Abraham. Everything that we've said about a nation, about a seed, about land, about all these things, I'm going to bless you and your seed. All these things, he said, not only am I promising them to you, but in verse 18, he makes a covenant. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is a promise that is signified with a sacrifice. You know what a covenant is? A covenant is somebody making a promise, but then sacrificing something to prove it to you. That's what God did. We don't know exactly what it was, but God made sacrifice to show Abraham, not only am I promising it to you, but I'm making a covenant with you that even though you're going to die and even though you're not going to be here, the promise that I have told you, I will keep it. Then in chapter 17, we find Abraham's name was changed to Abram. And he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he told them this in verse 8, that his personal possession of the land will be everlasting. Then we find in verse 22, and I want you to read this if you're there, verse 22, verse 15, very important. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. What are we talking about? Talking about here when Abraham sacrificed to his son Isaac. Remember the covenant we talked about. Sacrifice was made. Abraham rose the knife getting ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, and God withheld him. He didn't let him kill his son. And God said, all right, Abraham, because you believe me and because you are willing to sacrifice according to that belief, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to give you an oath. And this is what he said. Look, if you would, in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed, singular. You say, well, the word seed is plural and singular. It sure is. If God says, all right, Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed, you got to get to the Hebrew to understand that word. And when God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless thy seed, and I'm going to make a great nation out of thy seed, he's talking plural. In other words, generations that would come. But when God gets to this verse and he says, and thy seed, notice this, shall possess the gate of his enemies, he's talking singular. So what he told Abraham in that verse is, Abraham, you are going to have one particular seed out of all of your seed, and that seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That means this, that seed is going to conquer every enemy that could possibly come against him. Guess who he's talking about? Amen. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a whole bunch of seed, and you're going to have a great nation. But out of all that seed, I've got one particular seed that is going to come out of your seed. And that seed, I promise you, will come and he will possess the gate of his enemies. In other words, this, he will conquer everybody that stands in his way, even death itself. Why do you think the Bible says that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, the gates of his enemies? Notice, if you would, verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. God's promises to Abraham was this. First, all nations will be blessed in Abraham and his seed. Second thing he promised them was this. Abraham and his seed would possess the land forever. Third promise he made was this, that Abraham was to be the father of an innumerable seed. You couldn't measure it. Fourth, he promised that Abraham was going to be the father of a singular seed who would conquer all enemies. Last, Abraham's name was to be great in history. Now, God made these promises. Now, listen, these promises were made in the Old Testament. The New Testament talks about these promises. I just want to read you a couple of verses. James chapter 2, verse 23. In answer 2 Chronicles and Isaiah, it says that Abraham was the friend of God. The Bible talks about Abraham. James in Romans chapter 4, big chapter, by the way, as we study through Galatians, you ought to read Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham is the father of all who believe. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, it says that Abraham is the heir of the world. And then we get to the book of Hebrews. And let me tell you what the book of Hebrews says about Abraham. In chapter 6, it teaches that God's word is unchanged and is confirmed by his promise being combined with his oath, which means this. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says to Abraham that that oath, that covenant, will obviously be kept and it will not be changed by anybody or anything. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says Abraham died in faith without receiving the promise. But guess what it says? You want to look it up or not? If you don't have it, I want you to see it. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 11. You need to see this because this is really great if you're interested in the least bit. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, promised by God, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So God had made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham went out believing God's promise, even though he didn't even know where he was going. Look at verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of what? Promise. The land that God had promised him. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Notice this. But having seen them afar off. Did you get this? God told Abraham way back in Genesis, I'm going to make some promises to you. And when I do, you're going to die before you see these promises being kept. But I'm telling you right now, I will keep my promises. So what did Abraham do? Before God had ever given him what he promised he would give, Abraham took off by faith and served God. Because he says, I believe the promise you have made to me. And in Hebrews, all the way in the New Testament, it says Abraham was such a man of faith that Abraham obeyed God, not having received the promises, but he saw them afar off. You know, God's also made a promise to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. God has also made promises to you and to me. You say, well, I can't see them. Oh, that's what faith is. Faith is, I don't see it. I haven't seen it yet. But I, by faith, believe that God will keep his promises. Say, why is this important? Listen to me, dear friend. God made promises to Abraham. And those promises that he made to Abraham, he said, I will give those same promises and I will fulfill those same promises to anybody who believes like Abraham believed. And that means if you believe and if I believe in the same thing that Abraham believed, we get the same promises. Romans chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 1 through 3 that Abraham's belief was counted by God as righteousness. In chapter 4, verse 20 and 25 of Romans, the Bible says Abraham took God at his word. And we have to understand that Abraham hadn't seen anything yet, but he believed God. Now we come all the way to Galatians chapter 3. And these verses that we just read, you say, preacher, why is this so important? Well, there's some points I want you to understand. In Galatians chapter 3 that we just read and earlier that we preached on last week, verses 6 through 9, we find this. Those who have faith or have the faith of Abraham, the Bible says, will share Abraham's reward. Then we come down to verse 8, and we find that the gospel was preached to Abraham. And God said, all right, here's the gospel. That's what the verse says, that Abraham was preached the gospel. And Abraham believed. Even though, listen to me, not only had he not seen, the Savior hadn't come yet. Moses, in fact, hadn't even instituted the law. That was still 430 years away. This is a long time before any promise would be fulfilled. But Abraham believed God. We find in verse 14 and in verse 22 of chapter 3 that the blessing of Abraham extends to all who believe in Christ. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, it doesn't matter. If you believe and have the same faith in Christ that Abraham had in God, if you have the same faith and the same belief, then you and I will share the same blessing. Then in verse 16 and 17, we find this. The singular seed is Christ that was promised through Abraham's seed. The promises were not superseded. And if you'll notice in verse 16 and 17, it says this, that God made a promise, and even though the law came because we had transgressions. But the promise that God made to Abraham is not disannulled by the law. That means this, God made a promise to Abraham, and whether the law came or not, that doesn't change the fact God will keep his promise to Abraham. So you understand, you got to understand this chapter, and we're going somewhere with this. Now, if you'll notice, in verse 26 through 29, the Bible says, those baptized into Christ become Abraham's seed and heir of the promises. Now, you know what the promises were that God made to Abraham. And now we know what chapter 3 and the end of chapter 3 is teaching us about the promises that God made. Now, I want you to look, if you would, at something very interesting. Please turn to this in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Real quick, we're almost done. 2 Peter chapter 1. Wonderful verse. Beginning in verse 3. This all start making sense. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Did you hear that? Everything about life and everything about godliness came to us through Christ. Not the law, through Christ. Look at me. That's why you cannot depend on the law to make you godly. Doing the deeds in the law, following the law, doing the law doesn't make you godly. It makes you lawful, but not godly. Everything about life and godliness only comes through Christ. That means this, that it doesn't matter if I keep the law, if I don't have Christ in my heart, and if I'm not obeying him, I'm not godly. Because only godliness comes through Christ. That means this, we don't have a little list of things here at Kerman Baptist Church that you have to do to be godly. Let me tell you what you have to do to be godly. You got to have God in your heart and be close to him. You follow him. You don't follow a rule sheet. By the way, if you love God and you follow God, you don't need a rule sheet. That controls how you live. Why do people buck against things sometimes? You know why? Because they're trying to follow a sheet. And if that little sheet of rules doesn't make sense to them, they don't want to follow it. But what you and I should be doing is trying to live to make God happy, not some man and not some rule sheet. Oh, that'll change how we feel about things, won't it? Now listen to me. Notice these verses. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby, in other words, by him are given unto us exceeding great and precious what? Promises. Promises from where? Promises way back when he promised Abraham. I'll bless you if you believe me, if you put your faith in me. I'll bless you if you'll just do what I tell you to do. I'll make of you a great nation. And it was counted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. Now notice this verse. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why are the promises made to Abraham so important to us? Because you and I can claim those promises today. Because God said, the promises I made to Abraham, I'm making to you if you put faith in me like he did. All those who believe. And now I want you to, let me simplify it this way, okay? Three major things God promised Abraham. He promised him a great nation, he promised him land, and he promised him seed. Now let me read you some verses. You say, well, is it fulfilled? Has God made a great nation? Well, listen to me. In 1 Peter that we just read in chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You and I are that nation. And it's immeasurable. Nobody can measure it. You think you're the only Christian in the world? You think you're the only one that loves God? Oh, listen to me. God told Abraham, if you believe, I'll make a great nation out of you. Then God promised him land. Let me read you a verse in Joshua. Verse 43 of chapter 21, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And they still do to this day. But he also promised him seed. Now in Genesis chapter 22, we read the verses that he said, thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In Galatians chapter 3, where we are, look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many. Remember, it's not plural seeds. It's one seed that will conquer his enemies. Listen to me. God promised him a nation. You and I are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He promised him land. And the Bible says in Joshua, and even to this day, that's why there's so much fighting going on in the Middle East, because God made a promise to his people and he has kept his promise. But he also promised him a seed. He said, Abraham, out of your seed, I'm going to give you an heir, a seed that will conquer all enemies. And listen to me, this is so important to us, because if that had not happened, we wouldn't be here. But that promise was kept. Now, brings us back to our chapter, and I want to close with this. Look, if you would, at verse 22 of Galatians chapter 3. Very important. But the scripture, we just talk about all of Abraham's promises, and we talk about also in verse 19 that the law was given. You say, well, if God made promises to Abraham, why was the law given? Let me tell you why. Moses went up on the mountain. What did the people do? They got all the gold, melted it down, made a cow, started worshiping a graven image. And God saw that the transgression of man was great on this earth. And when Moses went up and he smashed the tablets, he went back up again, and God gave the law. That law was given because man transgressed. And the Bible says that that law, those Ten Commandments, that became a schoolmaster. And that schoolmaster we had to follow all the way up until Jesus came. You see, when Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, all the way from that day till the day Jesus died on the cross, we were living in the dispensation of law. That means we had to keep the law. We talked about this Wednesday night. We had to make sacrifice. We had to bring a lamb, a perfect lamb. We had to go through all this ritual, and the priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, and he had to ask God for forgiveness for our sins. And then as soon as we would get back home and we sinned again that week, we had to go get another lamb, and we had to get forgiveness for the sins we had done. And we had to ask God for forgiveness. Why? Because we broke the law, and we had to get forgiven from the law. But when Jesus Christ came, the veil of the temple was written too. No longer do we need a priest to go in for us to get forgiveness, because we're not under law anymore. Now we're under grace. That law was just a schoolmaster to get us 430 years till Christ came. We don't need the law now, folks. You don't have to follow the law. You only have to follow Christ. It was just to get us to him. And Paul says, listen to me, folks. Everything that I preached to you in Galatia, it was all just to get you to Christ. And now you're leaving him and going back to the law. Oh, I know of some independent Baptist churches that have done the exact same thing. Oh, we don't pull out and we don't have the Pentateuch there to give the law. We make up our own laws. Oh, you've got to do this for me to fellowship with you. Oh, you've got to dress this way to be holy. You've got to act this way to be godly. Listen to me. We're not under law anymore. We're under grace. And when we're under grace, guess what? That means this. We serve God out of a heart of love, not because we have to keep up with the law. If I make you dress a certain way for you to be godly, then you're doing it because I made you, and that has nothing to do with God. If you don't go somewhere because Brother Hawtrey tells me not to go somewhere, if you're doing it for me, then it's not counted unto you for righteousness because you're doing it for a man. It's got to be done for God, because we live under grace. That's why it's so important to us. That's why the promises to Abraham are so important to us. We're not under the law anymore. We don't have anything to prove to anybody. Jesus proved it for us. We have everything we have. We put it in Him. Because we got nothing without Him. Look, if you would, at verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And let me tell you the most beautiful thing about it. There is no Jew nor Greek in God's eyes. There is no bond nor free in God's eyes. There is no male or female in God's eyes. There's no black or white or red or yellow. There's no rich or poor. There's no good looking or ugly. There's no fat or skinny. All God sees is a soul that is on their way to hell. And if that soul puts the same trust and faith in Him like Abraham did all those hundreds of years ago, God will give you the same reward. God will honor His promise to you also if you just believe. Amen. Look, if you would, at verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And all God's people said,